I asked Jimmy if I could introduce Judy Sullivan. I'm sure she's a good poet. I've heard a poem or two from her, but when I first met James Deal in 1969, he had a poem about the Sullivan sisters, one of whom was Judy. So I'm always, I don't see her all the time. She shows up once in a while. But when I see her, I just feel so good because it brings back memories of when I met Jim and a lot of the things that we later did together as poets across national lines. So I'm real pleased to introduce Judy Sullivan.
I guess, hello. I hope you all realize that a great tragedy is taking place in Cleveland while we're. But anyway, I won't talk about that. I guess I have a couple. I guess these are childhood memory kind of things, and I guess whatever. All right. I guess the Sullivan Girl poem that Michael referred to was about, written about us. He had been a friend of my brother.
And it,
pardon me?
Your breasts.
Yeah, that actually never happened. That was Jim Deal's imagination. That was, and we did have a bathroom in our house. He seemed to think we didn't have running water. We actually did have running water. Okay. This is called Jingle Boots. Okay. And I guess the time period for this was about around early 1960s. Going to church on winter mornings, we trudged alongside whipping wet traffic, my mother in her black rubber men's galoshes, jingling and crunching in long strides, always in a hurry, through the snow to Mass at St. Pamphilus. Always late, we slithered in through the slide door, just in time to hear Father Edmund's sermon on the virtues of punctuality and the sin of drunkenness. As all heads turned scornfully toward us, we slinked down the marble corridor, mother's galoshes slipping out loud, announcement of this crude parade, distracting the parishioners were poor with God. Deftly we sought an empty pew, now sheltered from the burning glares. The priest in his alter ego surviving this sacrilege. Then when the time came for psalms, a deep fear rekindled in me as I realized that Daddy was going to sing. As Mrs. Malatesta struck the first chords on the massive pipe organ, my father's powerful tenor voice boomed above the crowd, vibrating the stained glass saints frozen in their leaden panes, and bounced off the plaster stations of the cross and caused the electric candle filament light fixtures suspended above the altar to tinkle timidly in response. And as I watched the small red votive flames flutter in their glass containers, captured souls like us, my own heart fluttered with them. That's just as about. I have one. Do you want to hear? I have one other more about getting dressed for school. Okay. This one's called Mushroom, because we ate mush. You know. Mushroom. Okay. On school mornings, after I ate my corn mush with too much sugar, I scurried frantically through the long yellow drawer in the kitchen, through crumpled Kleenex, tattered holy cards, and soiled tea towels, seeking fragments of decrepit comb. Trying to get ready for school, my mother would clamp my face with one arm and with the other mix several hard smears with her sour washcloth, attacking only the prominent areas. Then I ran out the front door with my bobby pins randomly placed, sticking through unkempt hair in holy leotards and muddy brown Oxfords, dodging bumper to bumper deadly morning traffic through the same road my sister was hit. Across and up the steep wooded path to school, knowing certain doom awaited me when I arrived, always late. Mrs. Beatty would make me scrape my shoes with that special butter knife she kept on top of the bookcase just for me, as the rest of the class was already into the Pledge of Allegiance. That's all. Okay, all right, thank you. I have others, but others. If any other people want to... Okay, I'll read one more, just on your insistence. Okay. This one's called At the Bar. Okay. Going into the Moose Lodge, number 609 in Beachview, there were lots of men with beer and pea smell, Me and Susie would run over to the hockey ball game, and Daddy would give us nickels in for us, put nickels in for us. And as the two-dimensional hollow plastic pins sprung down in firing squad formation, waiting to be struck by us, sliding the heavy plastic puck across the sawdust, one by one, to make them flip up and disappear. Then we would take a table while Daddy got a beer and a shot. We always got ginger ale. I would hold my glass under my nose, letting the bubbles tickle and fizz. As other beer-smelling men began to take notice, some would scorn. "This ain't no place for little girls." Daddy would turn and ask, "Have you met my daughters?" And of course they had met us many times before, and we knew it, but he would always ask just the same. More moosers in brown felt hats would bring their us pretzels and beer nuts and ask us stupid questions like if we were married or could they marry us. If we liked school, we were the bears in the zoo, and they offered us forbidden food. After a while, Daddy couldn't get up, so he would send us to the bar to get his drinks for him and kept giving us money for more chips. And when we came back, he would ask, and again, "Have you met my daughters?" Later, it would start to get dark, and we wondered, "Daddy, could we go home now?" "Certainly, in just a little while. In the meantime, do you want any more to eat?" "No." "Well, I guess I'll just have one more shot," and confided to the other men, "I don't like to drink in front of my daughters." As we sat and waited, swinging our legs under the table, a man across from our table sobbed as mucus dribbled from his nose into his drink, hunched forward compassionately toward us. "Oh God, can't you see they can't eat anymore? Let them go home." Finally, Daddy struggled to his feet, and as we were leaving, the other moosers yelled, "Good night, Sully." He hated being called Sully. That's why they did it. "Don't call me Sully, will you?" "Okay, Sully." We climbed the narrow cement steps out onto the street above, into the cold night air. It was dark now in Beachview and snowing. The boulevard stores with glowing yellow neon in the winter dark. Bard's Dairyland. A fluorescent front provided a beacon for the gangs of kids, like a bulb for moths. As we walked past spick and span cleaners through a hot steam cloud of stale perfume, sweat and detergent, homeward through the snow crunching, Daddy had to be led. And when he would lean too far to one side, we had to tug, pulling on his overcoat sleeves to keep him upright. Sometimes cars that knew us would slow down to look and honk their horns in recognition, but never stopping. When we came to the final stretch on down Crane Avenue, Dad would say, "It will be a cold day in Denmark before I forget this, kids." But of course I will remember this till my dying day, but by the next morning he had forgotten. I just want to explain it. I think that was something he would say, it'll be a cold day in Denmark, and I think it was a combination of it'll be a cold day till hell freezes over and something's rotten in Denmark, and it didn't quite make sense, but it was, okay. All right, thank you.